cake.
Cake.
If you want cake, buy cake. Don't put it in a donut.
I don't like cake. Man.
Yeah. I don't like cake either.
I like cake when it's fried. You like it's shaped into a ring.
Deep fried cake.
Especially with ridges.
Well, yeah. Lettuce just, you know.
It's got a deep fried cake.
It's a texture thing. It's a texture thing.
Well, what did you say, Barker?
I like all donuts. I'm a fat kid.
Let's like free donuts.
One of my first jobs out of high school was I worked for a donut shop.
Ah.
This explains so much.
I had to be there at 2:30 in the morning.
Probably relates why he likes Maduro so much.
I would go out and party and come into the donut shop just drunk and make donuts. And by the time the sun's out and it's 8 a.m. and the customers are coming in, I'm like, yeah, what do you want? Buy the donuts or don't. And I'm just sitting here shoveling them in. Because we get to eat them. I'm just like, hey, donuts, donuts.
I have a feeling there's a tow truck story with donuts somewhere
in
your psyche. It is buried in that, very rich, background.
That's right.
Somehow.
If you wanted to tip a tow truck driver, buy them donuts.
Okay.
That's right. Well, I think I'm really saddened. It breaks my heart that you hate Maduro's.
I don't hate Maduro's.
You hate Maduro's.
Hate is such a strong word.
I do have to say, this rapper, the San Andreas, it seems like it's a love-hate thing. I keep on running into, I like it as a, I like it as a rap. I don't like it as a rap. I run across, things that don't work well with binders, with this. I don't know. It seems like I'm constantly fighting it's a love-hate thing. And I always walk into a Maduro that's using San Andreas as going, I'm quite sure.
What's about to happen?
Yeah. Right? And I don't know if San Andreas is only sourced from Mexico or if I don't know if San Andreas actually is grown and utilized, as a wrapper leaf in some other parts of the world. But I know that it's been a love hate, hit or miss thing for me.
It's the spice complexity, right?
It's complex.
And it's got to be on the right blend.
I like it when it's complex.
It's got to be on the right blend of a Maduro for it to work, like the Mexican cake that you described, right? Like it's got to be that perfect blend of spicy.
But it has to be fried Mexican cake.
No, yes. Fair. Yeah.
With the ridges.
Cinnamon glaze.
And we'll be right back after this. It's not just the destination, but baby, the whole elation riding down this lover's avenue. Slow as a willow blows, or as fast as the whirlwind grows, we glide beneath the stars in cobalt blue. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. My hand is yours forever, sweet love. Our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
And we're back.
Oh, thanks for staying with us in our chaos. It has been one thing after another today with technical difficulties, but Mike, our beloved guardian, is taking care of us today, and he has invoked many names for all of us.
And there may or may not be rum in his coffee cup.
There is now.
There is definitely rum in his coffee cup. So now we're going to come off of there, and we're going to go into the Guardian of the Farm, and I'm going to talk to you a little bit about this. Now, I was introduced to this cigar a while back, and man, I have smoked many of these Cerberus cigars. I absolutely love them. It is a Nicaraguan Corojo from 2012, and the binder and filler is Nicaraguan. And if you'll give me a second through technical difficulties, it is 100%. Come down. There you go. It's Aganorsa Nicaragua. It's all tip of Nicaragua, cap of Nicaragua, and capote Nicaragua. And man, they just say it all. It's right there. It is a bold, very spice-forward cigars. And this is, they say it's a light spice and a rich, smooth body. The blend in the filler included single leaf of rare Maduro Tempo and amplified depth and complexity. A truly special cigar. That's what they say about this cigar. But what I say about this cigar is I freaking loved it. This cigar is fantastic. And I'm interested, extremely interested to hear what you guys had to say about it. So, Drew, what did you think about this cigar?
Really?
Yeah, go
You're
ahead.
You're going to start with me?
I'm going to start with you.
After that intro?
We're going to put you on the chopping block here.
I hated it.
Thanks, Mike, jumping in front of that one for me.
Hey, there's hate a bomb. Mike's going to throw himself on it.
Hate is a strong word. I very rarely use hate. I like to say that, I enjoy euphemisms. You know, things are approachable, you know.
For all intents and purposes, Nate smoked this lineup, not Mike, so his frame of reference is very small.
Yes.
I will just say the shorthand is if the San Andreas wrapper was not for a beginner Maduro smoker, this is definitely not for a beginner Maduro smoker. I was able to taste, you know, a bit of the spice and complexity in the San Andreas. It was very enjoyable. This was, for me, very one note, very, I use the word hot, but it is not hot. You know, it's not a heat thing. It wasn't drawing
cayenne pepper
warmly, not even cayenne pepper. It, I, you know, gasoline.
Okay.
See, yeah. I wouldn't say cayenne. I would go more of the white pepper route.
A little bit more floral.
A little bit more floral pepper, a little bit more earth tones to it. I thought this cigar, again, I'm a fanboy, so I'm just going to say I loved it. But as far as the complexity of it, I put that this thing is nutty, earthy, packed full of flavor, and a spice bomb.
I will agree with that last part.
I absolutely loved it from start to finish. That even from the dry draw from the beginning, after you cut it, before you light it, you take your dry draw and make sure your airflow is good. Which, one thing I'll say to Aganorsa, you guys, quality is on stand, is on point.
I concur, doctor.
I
would absolutely agree with
that as
well. I have
not found a knot, I have not found a run, I have not found anything in any of these. And I talked earlier about runs and box presses cigars. I didn't have that issue with these cigars, which I typically do. So as far as it goes, man, the flavor profile is on point for my palate. Yep. And I think I paired that with a couple of different whiskeys that I enjoy. You know, some of the bourbon group, This Is the Way, that I'm a part of from Dallas, Texas. Like, we had a honey barrel that we did, which we called the Poo DeLorean.
I liked it.
I like the Poo DeLorean a lot. And we have our own cigar blend 1792 single barrel that we did this year. I put both of those with it. And man, just pound for pound, it was just each sip, each draw was just on point with this Cerberus.
See, I bet that the sweetness would balance that out really, really well.
It does. It really does.
This was number three out of the four for me. If you rank them, you know, one being the favorite, four being the least favorite, this was three. So it's the bottom half of my list. I got the one note, but this is the one that really drove home that it, you know, it's kind of dirt floor, earthen, flavor profiles, is really solid mineral, like almost it's almost got like a dryness to it, right? Yeah. Like it's almost got like a bit of tooth to it, and it definitely isn't my favorite. The Guardian of the Farm, though, I love the story behind the brand there, right? Yeah. The Bulldogs guard the tobacco farms at Aganorsa, and as a Bulldog owner,
I love
that.
Right? I wanted to like it.
Big fan, and I think you nailed it on the dry draw, right? Like that dry draw, I was excited. I was like, man, this is gonna be something
amazing
that I'm really gonna enjoy. And then on the light, it just kind of wanes for me, right? It's got its own individuality that I do not necessarily subscribe to. You know, so I would definitely not encourage anyone to not try this cigar.
Yeah.
But it just, like I said, it doesn't do it for me.
See, I think it's a cigar smoker's cigar. Like, if you smoke cigars and you really enjoy that spicy, earthy, kind of mineralistic flavor, boom, that's that hit that. Blah, 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 blah.
You used an interesting word earlier, Ben, that made me put my finger on it. It has almost an astringent quality to it that I would use to describe a wine, you know, that, you know, clears the palate, as say, if you will. And that's actually probably one of the reasons why I probably did not enjoy it as a cigar, because that's not normally something I look for in a cigar from a flavor, like mechanic profile.
So I would challenge you on the Maduro and on the Cerberus to pick one of each more back up and put them with coffee. I know you're a coffee snob.
No, I was smoking this one with a root beer.
Yeah.
You know, so I can dig
that. But that sarsaparilla with that root beer, man, yeah. That sweetness really draws out that spice and mellows it out. But that coffee, when you put coffee with a good Maduro or good freaking San Andreas or Corojo, like, you just...
Are we talking Folgers, or are we talking like some single origin
business
here? I'm talking
like some single origin, some good, like, cupping coffee. You know, Mike knows all about the cuppings. It's his favorite term.
I do.
So I would encourage you to revisit.
I'll revisit it with coffee. I don't generally enjoy coffee with cigars as a pairing, because it tends to amplify the parts of cigars that I don't enjoy. You know, when I'm smoking cigars, I like things that are. I'm looking more for like sweeter profiles from the cigar generally. You know, sweet is such a subjective term.
But let's just say this, like you, and I'm assuming you, okay. So I'm assuming that you, when you're drinking a single origin coffee, you hit them bitter notes. You like that bitter kind of
sometimes
earthy.
It depends. When I drink coffee, I don't spring for single origin. I just throw some beans I get shipped from New Mexico in my French press. But if I do get single origin from a local spot,
your mouth like it's work.
I mean, you know, sometimes we drink for the effect, sometimes we drink for the taste. You know?
Yeah.
But the single origin stuff, I actually usually more enjoy, like the berry notes or...
Okay, so more of the floral, berry, kind of citrusy.
I would generally describe that as what I'm looking for when I'm going single origin, which is also what I'm generally looking for more with a cigar, actually, is more of that floral berry. Like, I'm Speyside versus Isla.
Ugh, get out.
You know.
No, dude. My man's got it right there.
You know.
Speyside.
So, I say Highland, really, if we want to get technical, because you can get both, you know, the best of both worlds sometimes. But
I'm a malty scotch.
Don't compromise. Make a decision.
Not a hoppy scotch. So, Mike, what would you say about coffee if you were putting coffee with a cigar?
I don't think he does.
No, I have tried, and I think it's been a lot of, you know, Barger's encouragement saying that, you know, he enjoys, you know, the two together. But I think the thing is that, you know, single origin to me is akin to a single barrel program, you know, for whiskey.
Sure.
You know, every single barrel is going to be different.
Absolutely.
And, you know, with coffee, you have elements that are there that provide some basis of the taste profile based on the soil conditions and the variety of coffee and the elevation, you know, that's associated with it. There's a lot of things. So, you know, I mean, if I had to describe those, that's kind of like the genetic makeup. In other words, it doesn't matter, you know, if you put that combination, you know, somewhere else, it should contain like 60% of, you know, the same way that it would no matter where it's at. But, you know, the other 40% is it's love and sunshine and rain, you know, and you know,
struggle.
It's an agricultural, you know, based product. And so it's going to have, you know, the same, you know, elements that you would have with a single barrel program that is also at the behest of, you know, weather. And so, you know, that's the way I think it's very difficult to describe, to say, well, I love single origins from Guatemala, or I love, you know, Vista Hermosa, you know, at 8,700 feet, you know, in Guatemala, or sure. I like Weiwei, you know,
Wait. Don't tell me.
In Guatemala.
I guess that's a good point as to why they have the vintages on the harvest so that you could try to identify.
So I think when you hear us go through coffees, and the reason why we're taking the time, to share the complete, description of something, don't fall into the trap, much like, I think cigars fall in to some element of some of the same aspect of genetic makeup. You have a, we just had a discussion about, San Andreas, as a wrapper, and not every crop of tobacco is going to be exactly the same. No. It's going to have different characteristics.
It's seasonal.
It is very, it's going to be, again, it's at the behest of, love and sunshine, and so even some of the ways in which, especially, wrappers, broadleaf wrappers are actually processed, post-harvest as well. How long were they aged? How were they stacked? How much, humidity were they, exposed to? I've even seen, some, tobacco warehouses where, they're restacking and flipping, broadleaf tobacco, after, 3 months, they'll restack the entire pallet so that it ages out, completely different. I know some manufacturers that they actually move their broadleaf around to different parts of the warehouse, just to get, certain characteristics with it.
That's something I hope that we can go on a tour sometime, maybe do a Puro Sabor or something and go check out these facilities and learn a little bit more about the process.
Yeah. So, I think much the way that, producers of other products, winemakers, brewers, distillers are all trying to, they're trying to navigate all this, variability, that brings it around to say every time you have a San Andreas Maduro wrapper, it should have this taste profile with our brand associated with it.
Yeah.
And the same way that, winemakers are always struggling, to dial in to say, well, last year's vintage was just amazing, so that's exactly what we're going to hit, once again. If the grapes don't give it up, they don't give it up.
Yeah, the target's always moving with that.
Right? Absolutely, yeah. Yes.
So for San Andreas, for me, though, I always resort to the staple, which it's hard-pressed to find anymore, but the Room 101 San Andreas that he came out with when he first released his brand. That San Andreas, to me, is the staple of what a San Andreas needs to be. And it's like when it hits those points, man, it's hard to mess up a San Andreas wrapper.
That's very true. And I think that when you're working with a product that, especially, a first mover, they have the benefit of establishing what is that profile.
This is what this is going to taste like.
Exactly, yeah.
When you hit a consistency in your baseline, your product will always shine through.
Yeah. And you've seen this with just tons of things. The thing I'm thinking of right now is, California, red, and Cabernet Sauvignon. I mean, it should feel and taste like somebody has shoved a bell pepper off your left nose, all day long.
And this is why I'm an Alexander guy.
Yeah. and a lot of the winemakers, in the late 60s, early 70s, they were establishing that big booming, flavor profile, and they were just standing up and give the finger to the French going, yeah, we have not finesse. We are going to beat you over the head.
Like Robin Williams profile said, I am French. I give a cigarette to a baby. Yeah.
So, I think that the same thing is true with, I think blenders and, cigar manufacturers, and especially those that are venturing out and using,
new methods. Yeah.
The story of the use of Cameroon wrapper, by Fuente is one of my favorite storylines. And,
I wish I had another rare leaf to smoke instead of this cigar.
It's just, there wasn't really anybody that was stepping out and using, Cameroon on such a big, broad level until he really created the,
Did he do it because they just couldn't get the scale they needed from the existing growers, and now it's become a whole class of its own because of simple economic pressure? Who knows?
And I think that Hemingway, absolutely set the standard for Cameron Rapper.
Speaking of San Andreas, I'm just going to smoke a San Andreas. All right. Well, we're going to take a little break here for our sponsors and ads.
We're wrapping it up.
And we're going to wrap it up here.
Well,
all right.
You've put up with us for
almost
an hour.
Well, let's go ahead and just say goodbyes then.
Well, So would you guys come back around to Aganorsa with this product line? Yeah?
Yes.
This is box-worthy?
I would definitely.
The rare leaf is box-worthy.
I think they're all box-worthy, to be honest with you. And I think that they are fantastic in what they're doing, and keep up the good work, you guys. Awesome. So I'd like to thank our host with us today. Thank you, good old boy Benjamin.
No, sir. Thank you for having me. Repeat offender here.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Thank you, good old boy Drew.
I'm happy that I made it, unlike good old boy Nate.
Oh, well, good old boy Nader Salad, he'll have to be with us on the next ones. But it happens. Good old boy Mike, thanks for filling in.
Well, I tried to punt and probably came up way short. But anyway.
Laces out, buddy.
Glad
Laces
to be here. Out. Hey, come back and enjoy another great episode of Sip, Suds, and Smokes. I'll ask you to keep on sipping.
And this is good old boy Barger. I'm signing out. And I'm just going to tell you, keep on smoking. Whatever it is, smoke it.
What would you pair with a donut?
You know, at one point in my life, I'd tell you an orange juice.
No, I meant like what cigar?
Oh, what cigar? Oh, man. Yeah, you know, a good Maduro with a juice.
Probably put it through the hole while you smoked it.
Probably a petite Lancero. Yeah. Nailed it.
It would probably fit, Ben.
Good petite Lancero. See you guys.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap.
Just tap it in.
The subscribe button.
Give it a little tappy. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo.
The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, Uncle Larry, or whoever it is that talks to you on your phone. Play podcast Sip, Suds, and Smokes. We love your feedback, and you can reach us at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. Our tasting notes flow out on Twitter and Instagram with our handle @sipsudsandsmokes, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands,
millions, and millions
of other fans on those social media platforms. Do us a favor. Take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. That's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. Come back, join us for another episode, and keep on sipping.
Been a One Tan Hand production of Sip, Suds, and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the good old boys, will see you all next time.
Descubrir toda la inmensidad. Te tengo un viaje interesante, sea la luna o sea Marte. Quiero explorar. Tengo un feeling, quieres ver algo bueno suceder. Súbete a mi nave, esto es para dos. Sé que tú me pensaste toda la tarde y no será la última vez que yo vaya a buscarte por todas partes. Estrés. I know you're lunática, I'm lunático. Nos queremos sin querer. Sé que eres lunática, yo lunático. Después de las 11, cuando ya es de noche. Yeah. En un rato paso a visitarte. No tendremos que disimular. Yeah. Lo curioso es lo que pase cuando besé tu lunar. Interesante, sea la luna o sea Marte, quiero explorar. Tengo el dato, quieres ver algo bueno suceder. Súbete a mi nave, que eso es para dos. Sé que tú me pensaste toda la tarde y no será la última vez que yo vaya a buscarte por todas partes para liberarnos de este estrés. I know you're lunatic. Cuando me hace sol. yo vaya a buscarte por todas partes para liberarnos de este estrés. I know you're lunatic.
Se amanece.